Hello.
It is the 4th of July. Welcome to Uva Ball Raw USA. I'm Gary Otto. Here is none other than Dr. Uva Ball. Well, hello, Uva.
Yeah, hi. So how is it at the holiday?
There's a lot of idiots setting off fireworks and pets are getting scared. But other than that, it's all good, my friend.
Yeah. And to start at first, I won our bet with
you won the bet.
You said 20 years, I said 30 years. He got 30.
Oh, said, you got it on the nose.
Yeah. And he deserved 30. I mean, it looked also that he was not addressing the victims. He's like, he completely doesn't feel anything for them. A clear sociopath, basically.
So was he put away federal, or was it federal charges?
No, in New York.
Oh, New York. So that means he could probably get some kind of like reduction of his sentence for good behavior and shit.
Yeah, but they charge him in Detroit or somewhere else additional with more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he could also end up in a total shit show with hundreds of years of jail. And
because typically, like, when they're charged federally, it's very hard to reduce the sentence. But if it's from a state, there's more likely he could get it chopped in half, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about Ghislaine Maxwell, for soliciting and then luring younger girls to Jeffrey Epstein, got 20 years. And I mean, and he incarcerated minor girls for years, raped them, filmed them, degraded them, and got 30 years. So is Maxwell's penalty too high, or is his too low, is the question.
Well, they never let us know what the clientele list was. So I don't know. I think it's hard to say, considering they shielded so much of the information from the public.
Yeah. I mean, but the R. Kelly documentary, I watched that whole thing, and then a lot of women coming forward there, right, and say actually what happened, that he locked up and made them, because their mothers and everything were asking, like, where's my daughter and stuff, and he made them, brainwashed them, and threatened them, so that they said, it's all good, mommy, I'm happy here, you know, but in reality, and he also gave them a lot of times as penalty, no food for days.
Oh.
You know, so he really degraded them and treated them like completely crap. And I mean, it's good that these cases are over. I'm curious to see how much jail Elizabeth Holmes will get from Serranos, from that blood testing device. Great show on Disney Plus, on Hulu or wherever it is, with Amanda Seyfried playing her. I mean, she defrauded Walgreens, and she defrauded people with that blood tests, right?
Well, she probably killed people too, you know?
Yeah, I know. And that is the thing why she should get also a higher jail penalty, because they gave people wrong results on purpose, because they didn't have the results. So they make things up as they go. And that is ridiculous. You know, that is the thing. Let's say you are defrauding venture capital companies, you steal their money, and it's just a fraud. You have basically a Ponzi scheme, or you have bullshit, but you don't harm people.
Yeah.
You know, then I would say she should get between 5 or 8 years or something, but they put fake blood results out there, and that potentially could kill even people with getting the wrong medication after.
Oh, yeah.
Or getting no medication for things, because there was no information about anything. And that is the thing what should trigger a bigger penalty.
Yeah. Well, let's hope. Let's hope that she is put away, and we're going to keep a very close eye on that. What else is there in the news?
Yeah, I mean, it's Trump who should face also criminal charges.
Oh, yeah. I know that's... who was in the news just today about the Trump thing? Wait a second.
No, it was Liz Cheney.
Yes, Liz Cheney. July 6th panel could suggest Trump criminal referral, it says.
I know, but it's still wishy-washy.
Yeah.
You know, why she hints that he could. I mean, after everything what they heard in that thing, she should say, we expecting the attorney, state attorney or whatever, charging him for criminal actions.
So you think she's just hoping, really?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, she shouldn't hope. She should ask the prosecutors to charge him. And not like hinting and hoping. I mean, what else you want? I mean, there is a flawless like chain of evidence against him.
So yeah, she says we'll make a decision as a committee about it. When asked about the prospect of referring Trump for prosecution, and saying yes when asked whether a referral of Trump was possible. So I don't know. To me, it sounds like she's keeping, it's like a poker game where you kind of keep your cards very close to your chest. Yeah. Because if it leaked that they were going to come after him, I think that he would start to get belligerent and start, you know, trying to, it would be difficult for them. Like that one person that they pulled up, the young woman who did the bombshell testimony, they tried to hide that she was even coming up because Trump is so such a fucking scumbag that he was trying to get people to hush. And the more that Trump knows in advance, the more that he's going to use it to try and fuck the system. So
yeah, I mean, I hope he will get charged. And we see how that turns out, right? So yeah, I mean, about my project, I have we have still offers out for Elliot Ness. I think now we are at Casey Affleck. So we're moving name by name through the list. You know, Paul Rudd was not available. So, I mean, it's...
Oh, Paul Rudd responded, though. That's great.
Yeah, that the agents, that he was not, like, available for the next, like, 1.5 years. It's sometimes now because a lot of that actors do signing on to do a TV series. And then they're just like booked for a year.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he's probably doing Marvel shit, you know?
Could be. I mean, it's for him definitely a payday, you know, if he's doing Marvel stuff. And now, yeah, I mean, we keep going. We still try. And I mean, I really hope we can make it in a way. Work in the end that we get an actor and we get the financing, and I have my TV series thing we're moving forward was like calculating and trying also there to get to get an actor. It's a cop show for 8 episodes, and then I was in contact again to my old buddy and producer in South Africa, Chris Rowland. And he said South Africa went economically so down the drain that it's now extremely, it was cheap always to shoot there, but now it's very, very, very cheap.
Ooh.
That's... You know, if you have like a electrician in US, it's at least $200, $250 a day. And, you know, so
over there,
but there it's like 20.
Yeah.
So you can shoot in South Africa, and we saw it in my films, Tunnel Rats and Darfur. You get a very, very good quality film. They have very good technical crew, also effect crews and makeup, blood effects, everything. And you can shoot there. It looks like a $10 million film, easy for $2 million now. So And that is a very important information for me, because if Elliot Ness doesn't work, if my TV show doesn't work, my big game plan is next year, I will shoot something. And I will shoot something what will look good, and I will shoot something what will look big. So
do you have any kind of ideas, or are you kind of, are you waiting to reveal what it is that you...
No, I'm now thinking, after this whole discussion about South Africa, I have two projects. One, what is already an older project of me, the 12 hours, where a guy has, you know, that action film could, it was always written for Eastern Europe, but it could play in South Africa. You know, so boom, that would variation number one. And variation number two would be an African subject matter again, like something like Darfur, in the style of like Last King of Scotland, in the thing in Rwanda, you know, like a real African action military kind of story. And there I'm juggling around with some ideas, which, I mean, maybe on later podcasts I can bring up more information about this. So we see this, but I sent 12 hours to South Africa already and let Chris look at it and say, and ask him like, how much would that be to do that film there? So hopefully next
week. You sent him the version with the alternate ending? Because I worked on the ending of it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We definitely, it was the rewrite what I sent to him.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And then we can see, and I had a Zoom with a British company, and they say they basically, they have a deal with CAA for packaging projects for them.
Okay.
So this guys I sent the 12 hours to and said, look, here's the deal. Here's the script. If we get a good actor for this, and you get a, they said also they can pre-sell to streamers like for big money, bigger money. So if they can pull it off, maybe they are good partners for a film. You know, yeah. It's also like, I mean, I'm putting it out there and try my best to get something going.
Well, 12 hours is a fucking awesome, it's going to be an awesome movie. I mean, I've read it. I know it. It's wonderful. And I don't know. I hope that it gets made finally. It's been a long time.
Yeah, you know, and I felt also it's definitely something what I would watch.
Oh, you know,
if I zapped through like the Netflixes or whatever, I would definitely watch this and would say, why not, right? So
well, it's a dark thriller. It's really, really exciting, and it's very fucked up too. So it's unlike anything else that's on the market right now. I know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is from this point of view, you know. So I'm moving ahead with stuff like this.
Okay.
And we're coming back to our classical Russia, Ukraine, in Germany. They're putting already plans for the winter up, how to save energy if the Russians shutting down the pipeline. So the Nord Stream 1 gas pipeline from Russia straight into Germany will be shut down in 2 weeks for an annual inspection.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the annual inspection could be then extended 2 weeks later when the annual inspection is done. It could be that the Russians say, we have technical problems. We just don't send the gas anymore. And then, you know, and then we would have like, I mean, there are like Norwegian, Dutch gas and Qatar and US gas, like Germany's buying gas right now wherever they can, you know, because we are idiots. After Fukushima, we went out of nuclear energy.
Yeah.
You know, and it was too early. that was panicky from Merkel getting out of all the nuclear energy. We have two old nuclear plants continuing right now, but we had 10 or 12 and they're all shut down. And the two ones are supposed to shut down end of this year. And they said, okay, we have to keep at least these two nuclear plants running longer. And then it turned out that doesn't work this way.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, because if you, like, the process to wrap up and shut down a nuclear plant for good is a process over like 1.5 years, because you have to burn down the uranium, what you put in, basically to waste.
Okay.
And now they don't have other new uranium ready to basically keep the burn going.
Okay.
You know, and so with other words, they say this too, we have to shut down too. It's over. Like, it's, we cannot extend them next January or February. They're gone.
It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late to continue with them. What I think could be also total bullshit, because they don't want to reverse that decision, you know, but it is what it is. It's completely, it's kind of fucked up, but
you guys are fucked.
Yeah, totally. Like in Germany, the industry and the private households, they totally depend on gas. I mean, I have an oil heating and they have solar on my roof. I'm good. You know, so I will still have hot water in the winter, but 40 million households not. So, I can only imagine the lineup of all my friends coming here to shower in winter. You know, like it's insane. But it's also in Germany, a lot of electricity gets produced by gas.
Yeah.
So, and then if the power shut down, I mean, let's say it this way, the support of Ukraine is dwindling away. You know, it's like this kind of like in the population, if you tell the German population, okay, in winter, you have to switch the heating off. I think more and more Germans say, nah. Fuck the Ukraine. We don't give them any more weapons and stuff like this. I mean, yeah, it looks like Putin is on the winning side.
Yeah,
it looks like he turns out to be a successful war lord. Basically, it's ridiculous, but it looks like this right now.
Yeah, it sure
taking
does.
Ground, you know, in Ukraine, he's like today the biggest south city in the south fell in his hands. The Ukrainians retreated the troops, so they said there are just too many Russian soldiers. We don't want to wipe out all the Ukrainian fighters, so we save their lives and we just retreat. So the question is then, where should that end?
Yeah.
Like, why is Zelensky not trying to settle this? I don't know what he thinks. If he thinks he gets more and more weapons, that he still can win the war, I think it's naive. It's stupid.
I feel like he doesn't even have a plan. I feel like he's just taking it week by week.
Yeah, you know. So and it looks like he doesn't want to call Putin, or he doesn't want to have any kind of talks, because that makes him look weak.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the situation there, and
pretty grim.
Yeah,
for sure. And
there is a great documentary on Netflix, a new one, The Road to the First World War, and I can only recommend to watch that documentary, because even I got tons of new informations about the road to the First World War. Huh. And to basically explain it very quickly, the prince and the princess from Austria, they got shot in Sarajevo in Serbia. I think it was 1914 or whenever it started. And that triggered Hungary-Austria declaring the war to Serbia. But Serbia had a deal with Russia And Russia had a deal with France that if somebody gets attacked, they're helping each other.
Yeah.
So, but in all that years, I was questioning why it ended up in the Third World War if a prince and a princess getting shot in Sarajevo, who gives a shit? I mean, you know, it was not like the German chancellor got shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that is the thing. It's like, so, and then that doku starts basically 30 years before that date. It started in the 1880s. And so what actually happened in the 1800s is around 1860, Germany invaded France. And it was similar to later when Hitler invaded it. France basically was defenseless within a few days. It was like they were toast.
Okay.
That is the reason the French hated Germany. And then they made a deal, Germany retreated. But the French, from this point on, saw Germany as the main enemy and made a deal with Russia because so they could, in the case of another war, attack Germany from both sides, from the east and the west. And then France started building fortresses at the border to Germany so that they could defend the borders better as before. And Russia, with the help from France, started building railways and railway tracks straight to the German border. There was a time where Poland, for example, didn't even exist. Poland was half German, half Russian. There was no Poland. And this, and Serbia and the ex-Yugoslavia and Moldavia and all that stuff was all in the hands of the Turkish. And Austria and Hungary put like the Turkish away, and so Serbia turned into Serbia, basically. Before that, they were just like invaded by the Turkish. And so everything was in a way a little interconnected. And then I'm talking about now 20 years before the First World War actually started. And then Germany made the decision to say, look, we can attack France, preempting them, like basically like destroying France again quickly, so we can focus on the war with Russia, because then if Russia attacks us, we are already done in France, and then we can basically defend to the east to defeat Russia. And the British said, if you attack France, we will be with the French. So Germany started building a lot of ships, warships, because they were aware the British have the best navy. So they need to fight the British on the ocean before the British could even help France. So it was a total clusterfuck up where you think like, oh my God, why they were also war driven at that time. And when that princess pair got killed, 1914, the Austrians said, we have to react now. We have to declare war to Serbia for this. They didn't want it to wait, but the German military said, we're not done. We're like just producing the ships. We need to fight the British on the ocean. We will have Russia attacking us. We will have France attacking us. We are not ready for that war. So please don't declare war to Serbia, because if you declare war to Serbia, the Russians were getting involved right away.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And Austria gave a shit about it. They did it. And then boom, everybody attacked everybody. And then in the end, Germany lost the war. And of course, Austria and Hungary also, based on basically what the German military told them, like, we're not ready, and they were not ready. So they didn't have, in the end, the resources to fight Britain, France, and the Russian from the other side.
So, huh.
Yeah, but it's very interesting to see it in a documentary, like, because it was the first time I understood the long lead up to it. It was not this kind of, people got assassinated and now we are in a full-on world war, because it would make no sense whatsoever. But it made sense, if you know the backstory, that they were already for years on the brink of war. And then a little mistake or a little bullshit led to a full-on blown war. And I think that is a huge problem also now with situations like the Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what is if Poland gets really nervous and attacks or helps with forces the Ukrainians because the Russians winning? What is if the Russians actually keep winning? Then Poland will get very nervous because they're next.
Yeah.
You know, and then they are NATO member. So now Poland helps the Ukrainians because they don't want a war on Poland ground. So now they help them. Now Putin says, okay, Poland is NATO, so means the NATO attacked me.
Oh,
You know, and then
okay.
everybody says, oh, fuck. And boom, you're lured in a third world war because what choice you have.
Yeah. No, I think we have to be very, very, very careful right now. I think that Putin knows this, and I think that he's taking advantage of how careful people are being in this situation. Because you're right. If they did defend themselves, or if they did try to help, they represent NATO. So.
Yeah, exactly. But you also have to, because this week you saw that Erdogan agreed to Finland and Sweden joining the NATO, right? So, and Putin said he gives a shit. So Putin basically said he's okay with Sweden and Finland joining the NATO. So, but as more countries you have in the NATO, as higher the risk gets that you actually have to help them, well, you know, like
Yeah.
something happens. And
Yeah.
I think they're all on the border to Russia, Finland and now Poland, Moldavia. You know, I mean it's not so easy. And it's really not so easy in what direction we're moving, you know. And I think it's a catastrophic disaster if we in the end have to be in a third world war only because one little exotic country gets nervous.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not so nervous that Putin attacks Poland. I don't think he would attack Poland. I'm more nervous because Poland and Ukraine are the best friends. Poland took millions of refugees already from Ukraine. And I don't think Poland would just sit around watching Ukraine getting completely destroyed in the end.
Well, they've got to be smart. They've got to be able to hold their tongue, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, I know, but then it's not the tongue anymore. Then it's like worse, you know, it's then like a real possible
Yeah, I know.
wipe out of a, you know, I mean, it's just like horrible.
Oh,
It's,
yeah.
it would be really, really horrible if this thing turns out the way it turns out.
Well, if this is one of the slow burns that leads us towards a world war, that would be a really bad thing. You know, hopefully it's not. Hopefully it's not like what you described 30 years of precursor to a world war, and that we're experiencing our own version of that now.
Yeah, exactly. That is what I was thinking when I watched that doku, that you get lured into it. Because look, why Germany went into it is because they always promised Austria they will protect them.
Yeah.
You know, they said to Austria, okay, if you declare war, we are on your side. And then boom, the big war started. If Austria would just like fought Serbia, nobody would give a shit. But because of the trigger point that Serbia had that pact, like the contract with Russia, that Russia will defend anybody who you know, defend anybody who attacks Serbia, that was just like this kind of avalanche situation.
Yeah.
You know? So it's and that is the thing what scares me is that we have a big exposure now to the east to a lot of small countries and where we have to stand for them and have to fight for them the moment they are involved in a war, and the NATO doesn't say what war. You know, normally you should have like a in the NATO should be a contract, like if Poland gets attacked by Russia, the NATO has to help. But if Poland fights outside of Poland for a third party, nobody has to defend them. Wait 1 second, I have to open the door. And I still go with one
crutch,
so I'm not too far.
Bessie agrees. She agrees. Bessie got so excited with your speech that she just had to yelp, roof.
Yeah, I know. Bessie's always interesting. If somebody comes to the house, she's barking, but all the DHL, Amazon people, whatever, know her very well, and I'm not scared anymore. And here are 2 weeks more school before it's the summer holidays. So.
You're still in school over there.
Yeah, they're still in school. Like in Germany, state by state, they do different. Holiday times, so that they don't have too much traffic. You know,
good
at
idea.
At the airplanes and so on.
If only they did that here in the U.S.
Yeah, I know.
Because the traffic today is going to be fucking nuts. When I get off this, immediately I've got to go out because I've got to work. But I bet you it's going to be really bad out there.
Yeah. So, it's like in Germany is a total shit show at the airports already because all the airlines didn't have enough personnel. They don't have enough people after Corona. A lot of people left them at Corona times, and then they couldn't get rehired. And now at the security checks, for example, in Frankfurt at the airport, it's an absolute shit show.
Oh, yeah. Now, I know in the United States, it's very hard to get hired by the airlines because pretty much you've got to go through like a background check, like government testing and shit, like that. Like, I remember when I tried out for the airlines, they did all sorts of, I had to go to like an FBI, like they took my fingerprints and shit. They did all sorts of crazy stuff.
Walter's standing right by me.
Hey, and Walter.
Hello. It's Gary.
How you doing?
He just lured €2 out of me and put his shoes on, and I think he wants to go to the kiosk. But Walter, you had already sweet stuff today, ne?
Ich hole mich schon.
Ne, mach die Schnalle auf.
Ich hole mein
You know, they're always going for ice cream.
He's going to go hang out in front of the store again?
Yeah, I know. And it's like, it's so bad, you know. But what you want to do? It's summertime. It's hot here. Yeah. So it's no
Walter, you're having a good summer?
He walked out already.
Oh, he's gone.
Now he takes his bike and tries to go somewhere else. So far so good. And his sister comes and his brother KJ. So they will come in 2 weeks. And then we have that summertime together, right? I hope in 2 weeks I can walk without crutches. I had like everything looks good, like my recovery. It's today, 2 weeks ago, I got the new hip, and the wound is looks very good. So I think next week I can go swimming and stuff to be like underwater gymnastic and stuff, and go to physio 3 times a week. The pain slowly goes away, But I still have to use the crutches because it's just not stable enough for me to walk without crutches. It hurts me too much. Okay. It's still like from the operation, you know, like you, I mean.
Well, don't feel like the crutches make you look bad or something. It's like, no. That's a fact of life. It's just how it is, you know, and it will help you get to the place you need to be to not have them anymore.
Yeah, that is because I was like walking to the doctor's office with one crutch, right? So because then you have the other hand free for whatever, cell phone. So, and he said, no, I need to use both crutches because then I only learn to go straight and I don't limp. And I you know, like the weight has to be evened out.
Okay.
And he said like it's a bad idea to go with one crutch around because then I basically start limping again on the other side. And it's all okay. And I'm happy that I didn't get a thrombose or like, you know, a blood thing or a clog or something. The stuff what can happen at the operation or right after. So that all looks good. And the arthritis pain is gone. I have other pain at now, but the pain I had on every step for 15 years is gone.
Yeah.
That's awesome. An amazing feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. 15 years of pain is finally gone. That's a celebration.
Yeah. You know, because that alone is already a great progress. And so now I just have to be patient and go through the next,
well, that's
the next 2 weeks.
It actually worked. That's a great, great thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is, I think why I'm overall see the whole thing as a real success. Now, yeah. Should we call it a day for today? And then we continue in a bit as soon we have.
Well, there'll be more news before you know it, I'm sure. So, yes, we will close up for today for the 4th of July. We've had a very interesting reflection on the First World War during this 4th of July celebration here on Uwe Boll Raw. And I want you guys to be sure to add us on Twitter, Uwe Boll 7, and what is mine? I can't even remember. Gary Otto 0 on Twitter. So add us and have a great 4th of July. Don't scare your pets.
Yeah. Okay. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.